Hi, Dave Emery here. This is For the Record program number 1178. Fascism and the Uyghur Genocide Myth, Part 1. This is being recorded on March 31st of the year 2021. Before we get into the program per se, two quick notes. First of all, sister station WFMU is podcasting the For the Record programs, and there is a link if you would like to have the broadcast podcast at the top of each written description. Also, I can't encourage listeners strongly enough to get the 32 gigabyte flash drive with all of my work through For the Record 1156 on it. There is also a small library of old anti-fascist books, one of which we will be using in part two, possibly part three. I don't think this is going to go 3 hours, but we will see. So there once again is a link at the top of each written description, both for the WFMU podcast, if you would like the program podcast for you, and for the flash drive. Now, there has been a lot of discussion about the, quote, Chinese genocide, unquote, against the Uyghurs. We talked about that in For the Record 1176, and we have talked about the disinformation vis-a-vis the Uyghurs for really many, many years, starting with For the Record 348. In the first few years of the new century, we have spoken about the links between the Uyghurs and Al-Qaeda, Muslim Brotherhood-financed terrorist organizations, and really this has been the Uyghurs have been a vehicle that NATO and the West, Germany and the U.S. have used against China for the better part of 100 years, really since the early years of the Cold War. In this series, we are going to take a look at how fascism and people who have functioned as main cogs in international fascism are behind the generation of what is essentially a mythological political fantasy, namely that China is committing genocide against the Uyghurs. This has been the focal point of not only news, unquote, in the U.S. Joe Biden and Secretary of State Antony Blinken have been disseminating this, but it has been the focal point for sanctions against various Chinese officials. In the first article that we're going to read, all of the articles that we are going to be using in this series come from The Gray Zone. They've done some excellent coverage of the creation of the Uyghur genocide myth, and this first one that talks about the allegation that the UN reported that China had massive internment camps. In this program, you're going to hear about, in particular, the National Endowment for Democracy, an Orwellian name, if ever there was one. That was the creation of William Casey's CIA. It is basically a CIA cutout, and in the For the Record programs 1149, 1150, and 1169, we took a look at the seamless transition from the Third Reich to the fledgling CIA of Nazi forces such as the OUNB. William Casey was appointed by Alan Dulles to head all OSS operations in Germany in 1944 and 1945, and then became a key operative of the Nazi wing of the Republican Party. And one of the things that was a factor in that transition from World War II to the Gabelin Organization / CIA was continuous guerrilla warfare in the Ukraine and parts of the Baltic states by, among other organizations, the OUNB. And essentially, the OUNB, many of the units still have some of their Wehrmacht and SS officers, essentially changed uniforms. William Casey and the MEB are front and center in the discussion that is going to follow. The organizations such as the Chinese Human Rights Defenders, basically a U.S. intelligence cutout, have been financed by the MEB. And it was William Casey who set that up. This first article is from the Gray Zone of August 23rd of 2018. It is by Ben Norton and Ajit Singh, A-J-I-T-S-I-N-G-H. No, the UN did not report China has, quote, massive internment camps, unquote, for Uyghur Muslims. And this reads, media outlets falsely claimed the UN reported China is holding a million Uyghurs in camps. The claim is based on unsourced allegations by an American commission member, U.S.-funded outfits, and a shadowy government-funded opposition group. Numerous major media outlets, from Reuters to The Intercept, have claimed that the United Nations has reports that the Chinese government is holding as many as 1 million Uyghur Muslims in internment camps, unquote. But a close examination of these news stories and of the evidence behind them, or the lack thereof, demonstrates that the extraordinary claim is simply not true. A spokesperson for the UN Office of the High Commissioner for Human Rights, or OHCHR, confirmed in a statement to the Gray Zone that the allegation of Chinese, quote, camps, unquote, was not made by the United Nations, but rather by a member of an independent committee that does not speak for the UN as a whole. That member happened to be the only American on the committee, and one with no background of scholarship or research on China. Moreover, this accusation is based on the thinly sourced reports of a Chinese opposition group that is funded by the American government's regime change arm and is closely tied to exiled pro-U.S. activists. There have been numerous reports of discrimination against Uyghur Muslims in China. However, information about camps containing 1 million prisoners has originated almost exclusively from media outlets and organizations funded and weaponized by the U.S. government to turn up the heat on Beijing. A blatant falsehood introduced by Reuters and echoed across mainstream media. On August 10th, the UN Committee on the Elimination of Racial Discrimination conducted its regular review of China's compliance with the International Convention on the Elimination of All Forms of Racial Discrimination. The review, which is conducted periodically for all 179 parties to the convention, has generated a frenzied response by the Western corporate press, one which is uniformly misleading. On the day of the review, Reuters published a report with an explosive headline, quote, UN says it has credible reports that China holds millions of Uyghurs in secret camps, unquote. The claim was feverishly reproduced by outlets such as the New York Times and the Washington Post to denounce China and call for international action. Even The Intercept's Maybe Hassan belted out the breathless headline, 1 million Uyghur Muslims have been detained by China, the UN says. Where is the global outrage? Unquote. The impression readers were given was that the UN had conducted an investigation and had formally and collectively made such charges against China. In fact, the UN had done no such thing. headline of Reuters report attributed its explosive claim to the UN, yet the body of the article ascribed it simply to the UN Committee on the Elimination of Racial Discrimination. And this committee's official website makes it clear that it is a, quote, body of independent experts, unquote, not UN officials. What's more, a look at the OHCHR's official news release on the committee's presentation of the report showed that the only mention of alleged re-education camps in China was made by its sole American member, Gay, G-A-Y, McDougal, capital M-C, capital D-O-U-G-A-L-L. This claim was then echoed by a Mauritanian member, Yamele Mint Mohamed, M-O-H-A-M-E-D. During the committee's regular review of China, McDougal commented that she was, quote, deeply concerned, unquote, about credible reports, unquote, alleging mass detentions of millions of Uyghur Muslim minorities in internment camps, unquote. The Associated Press reported that McDougal, quote, did not specify a source for that information in her remarks at the hearing. Note that the headline of the AP Newswire is much weaker than that of Reuters. UN panel concerned as reported Chinese detention, UN panel concerned at reported Chinese detention of Uyghurs. Video of the session confirms that McDougal provided no sourcing to back up her remarkable claim. One more time. Video of the session confirms that McDougal provided no sourcing to back up her remarkable claim. This is to say, one American member of an independent UN body made a provocative claim that China was interning 1 million Muslims, but failed to provide a single named source. And Reuters and the Western corporate media ran with it anyway, attributing the unsubstantiated allegations of one U.S. individual to the UN as a whole. In an email to the Gray Zone, OHCHR spokesperson Julia Gromovet, G-R-O-M-M-E-V-E-T, confirmed that the CERB was not representative of the UN as a whole. Quote, you are correct that the Committee on the Elimination of Racial Discrimination is an independent body, unquote, Gromovet wrote. Quoted comments were made during public sessions of the committee when members were reviewing state parties, unquote. Thus, the OHCHR implicitly acknowledged that the comments by McDougal, the lone American member of an independent committee, were not representative of any finding by the UN as a whole. The report by Reuters is simply false. Quote, credible reports from U.S. government-funded opposition group with zero transparency. In addition to this irresponsible misreporting, Reuters and other Western outlets have attempted to fill in the gaps left by McDougal, referring to reports made by so-called activist group, unquote, the Network of Chinese Human Rights Defenders, or CHRD. Conveniently left out of the story is that this organization is headquartered in Washington, D.C., and funded by the U.S. government's regime change arm. CHRB, by the way, we've spoken about this before, CHRB advocates full-time against the Chinese government and has spent years campaigning on behalf of extreme right-wing opposition figures. CHRB is not at all transparent about its funding or personnel. Its annual reports contain notes stating, quote, this report has been produced with the financial support of generous donors, unquote. But the donors are never named. Publicly available 990 IRS filing forms reviewed by the Gray Zone show that the organization is substantially funded by government grants. In fact, in 2015, virtually all of the organization's revenue came from government grants. CHRB's 2015 Form 990 discloses that $819,553 of its $820,023 revenue that year, 99.94%, came from U.S. government grants. A measly $395 of that $820,000+ came from investments, with another $75 from other sources. According to its 2016 Form 990, CHRB received $859,091 in government grants that year. The governments that provided these grants have not been disclosed. The Gray Zone did not receive a response to several emailed interview requests sent to the network of Chinese human rights defenders. However, PAC documents uncovered by the Gray Zone show that a significant portion of this group's budget comes from the U.S. government's National Endowment for Democracy, or NED, a CIA-linked soft power group that was founded by the Ronald Reagan administration in the 1980s to push regime change against independent governments and to support, quote, free markets, unquote, around the world. In 2012, the NED gave the Network of Chinese Human Rights Defenders $490,000. In 2012, it got a $520,000 grant from NED. In 2014, the NED gave the group another $514,068. This massive stream of funding continued. $496,000 from NED in 2015, and another $412,300 in 2016. This NED grant in 2015 constitutes more than 60% of the $819,553 in government grants CHRB received that year. The governments that provided the additional $323,553 in funding have not been disclosed. In search of the NED's grants database, a search of the NED's grants database further confirms that this CIA-linked U.S. government soft power organization allocated approximately $500,000 in 2014 and 2015 to, quote, support the work of Chinese human rights defenders, unquote. CHRB has used its generous funding to provide grants to opposition activists inside China, bankrolling dozens upon dozens of projects in the country. On its tax forms, CHRB lists its address as the Washington, D.C. Office of Human Rights Watch. HRW has long been criticized for its revolving door with the U.S. government and its excessively disproportionate focus on designated enemies of Washington like China, Venezuela, Syria, and Russia. Human Rights Watch did not respond to an email from the Gray Zone inquiring about its relation with CHRB. Next section, a who's who of right-wing opposition activists. The Network of Chinese Human Rights Defenders Forms 990 also reveal that the board of the organization is a who's who of exiled anti-government activists. The chair of the group is the U.S.-based activist Xu Xiaokang, by the way, X-I-A-O-K-A-N-G. I'm probably butchering many of these Chinese names. The chair of the group is the U.S.-based activist Xu Xiaokang, who proclaimed that the Chinese public supposedly, quote, wants the U.S. to watch over activists and is disappointed when Washington fails, unquote. Fellow U.S.-based dissident Peng Biao is a CHRB director who has sarcastically boasted of how the Chinese community, the Chinese Communist Party, dubbed him a reactionary, unquote. Last sentence again. Fellow U.S.-based dissident Peng, P-E-N-G, Bao, B-I-A-O-U, B-I-A-O, is a CHRB director who has sarcastically boasted of how the Chinese Communist Party dubbed him a reactionary, unquote. CHRB's secretary is the American academic Perry Link, L-I-N-K, who was built on winding up on the Chinese government's academic blacklist. Link testified for the U.S. Committee on Foreign Affairs in Link testified for the U.S. House Committee on Foreign Affairs in 2014, claiming that the Chinese government is threatening academic freedom in the U.S. In his congressional testimony, CHRB Secretary Link insisted that the government should crack down on the Chinese government's Confucius Institute organization and instead fund its own pro-U.S. Chinese language programs. Link characterized Chinese language programs as a potential American weapon against the Chinese Communist Party, arguing that they could, quote, very arguably do more to blunt the CPC's advance than the B-2 Spirit Bomber airplane could, unquote. These are some of the pro-U.S. anti-Chinese government figures who lead the network of Chinese human rights defenders. Otherwise, there is very little publicly available information about the CHRB. It appears to be largely the brainchild of its international director, René Jia, XIA, an opposition activist who has publicly called for the U.S. government to impose sanctions on Chinese officials under the Magnitsky Act. And then support for a, quote, nonviolence advocate, unquote, who loves America's wars. The network of Chinese human rights defenders founder, Jia, was a strong supporter of the imprisoned, hard-right neoconservative Chinese dissident Liu Xiaobo, X-I-A-O-B-O, and she campaigned for years for his release. An archived version of the group's website shows that as far back as 2010, CHRB was vociferously active, advocating on behalf of Liu while likening the Chinese government to Nazi Germany. As we will see, Adrian Zenz, whom we have discussed at quite a considerable length in past programs and whom we will turn to in our next program, is basically active in the Victims of Communist Memorial Foundation, which is not only an offshoot of the Captive Nations Committee, but is a derivative of the OUNB, which was aligned with the Third Reich. Continuing. While Liu Xiaobo became a cause celebre of the Western liberal intelligentsia, he was a staunch supporter of colonialism, a fan of the most blood-soaked U.S. military campaigns, and a hardcore libertarian. As writers Barry Saltman and Yan Hairong reported in The Guardian in 2010, Liu led numerous government-funded right-wing organizations that advocated mass privatization and the westernization of China. He also expressed openly racist views against the Chinese. Quote, to choose westernization is to choose to be human, unquote, Liu insisted, lamenting that traditional Chinese culture has made its population, quote, wimpy, spineless, and effed up. I can't say that on the air, unquote. While CHRB described Liu as an advocate of nonviolence, unquote, he practically worshipped President George W. Bush and strongly supported the illegal U.S.-led invasion of Iraq as well as the war in Afghanistan. Quote, nonviolence advocate, unquote, Liu, was even a fan of America's wars in Korea and Vietnam, which killed millions of civilians. Next section, most sources on the Uyghur camp's story are U.S. government linked. A look at the sourcing of the Network of Chinese Human Rights Defenders research raises many doubts about its legitimacy. For one, the most cited source in the CHRB report, accounting for more than one-fifth of the 101 references, is Radio Free Asia, a news agency created by the CIA during the Cold War to pump out anti-Chinese propaganda, and still today funded by the U.S. government. Even the New York Times has referred to Radio Free Asia as a worldwide propaganda network built by the CIA, unquote. Along with the Voice of America, Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty, Radio e Televisione Malti, and Middle East Broadcasting Networks, Radio Free Asia is operated by the Broadcasting Board of Governors, a federal agency of the U.S. government under the supervision of the State Department. Describing its work as, quote, vital to U.S. national interests, unquote, BBG's primary broadcasting standard is to be, quote, consistent with the broad foreign policy objectives of the United States, unquote. The mere total reliance on Washington-linked sources is characteristic of Western reporting on Uyghur Muslims in China and on the country in general, which regularly features sensational headlines and allegations. In addition to CHRB and RFA, it is common for news reports to cite the World Uyghur Congress, an organization funded by the NED. At a recent NED event, the Gray Zone editor Max Blumenthal interviewed World Uyghur Congress Chairman Omar Kanat, who took credit for furnishing many of the claims of internment camps to Western media. Another putative human rights organization whose dubious reports are frequently echoed by Radio Free Asia, the International Uyghur Human Rights and Democracy Foundation, is likewise bankrolled by the National Endowment for Democracy. This group received a staggering $473,608 from the NED in 2009, along with $240,000 in 2010, and another $187,918 grant in 2011, putting it on the top tier of grantees for those years. The U.S. government's regime change arm similarly finances the Uyghur American Association. This group, another source for Radio Free Asia stories, raked in $280,000 grants from the NED in 2010 and then again in 2011, along with $265,000 in 2009. Yet another favorite congressional mainstream media source for information about China is the Jamestown Foundation, a neoconservative think tank founded during the height of the Cold War by Reagan administration personnel with the support of then CIA Director William J. Casey. Former Jamestown board members include Dick Cheney and Zbigniew Brzezinski. The latest incident of misreporting by Reuters is part of a trend of increasingly hostile, Cold War-like coverage of China by the Western press, one that coincides with Washington's push for conflict with Beijing. Note also that in addition to William Casey, Zbigniew Brzezinski also has significant links to the milieu of the Galen Org coming forward from World War II. Now, next, we're going to take a look at an article also from the Gray Zone, this by Ben Norton, and this concerns a journalist who echoed the political mythology of massive internment camps for the Uyghurs. This is a woman named Amelia Pang, P-A-N-G, and she has years of experience working for, drumroll fanfare, Falun Gong. Falun Gong is a fascist mind control cult that we've talked about at some length in the past. It has networked with Steve Bannon. It is behind the Epic Times, which you will see all over the place, a major supporter of Donald Trump. And this is, in fact, an organization which it strains credibility. It is financed in part by the CIA, certainly networks with CIA and has been promoted by it. The head of this cult, Master Ji Hongli, claims that he can walk through walls, he can levitate. He claims he can install a Falun wheel, or a law wheel, or Falun, an actual physical swastika, in the abdomens of members of the group that will revolve in alternating clockwise and counterclockwise directions, and will cure them of all physical and spiritual ills. The group also maintains that mixed-race children are doomed to go to hell eventually, and as are gays. And it also claims that modern inventions such as computers and airplanes are produced by tiny space aliens who inhabit the bodies of human beings and cause them to create these otherworldly creations like airplanes and computers. All of this would be humorous in the extreme were it not for the fact that this organization functions as an extension of U.S. government policy. And we're going to take a look now at not only Amelia Pang's discussion of the alleged massive internment camps for Uyghur Muslims, but once again, we're going to come back to Mr. Adrian Zenz, an end times Christian, a German, by the way, a member of the Victims of Communism Memorial Foundation, an outgrowth of both, in turn, the Captive Nations Committee and the OUNB. We've spoken about Zenz at great length, including for the record program number 1176, most recently. This is from The Gray Zone of January 28th of 2021 by Ben Norton. New York Times pseudo-expert accusing China of genocide worked for far-right cult Falun Gong's publicity arm. So then the intro, the New York Times recycled flimsy claims by a right-wing apocalyptic extremist to accuse China of genocide in an op-ed by an American with one-eighth Uyghur heritage who worked for Epoch Times, a far-right pro-Trump outlet backed by cult Falun Gong. The New York Times published a factually challenged op-ed accusing China of committing genocide, unquote, against its Uyghur minority. The article sourced its spurious accusations to a right-wing operative who insists his research is part of a divine, quote, mission, unquote, against Beijing that is, quote, led by God, unquote. The author of the New York Times op-ed, Amelia Pang, P-A-N-G, happens to be a former employee of the Epoch Times, a far-right propaganda arm of a fanatical anti-China cult called Falun Gong. The extremist group preaches that race mixing, homosexuality, feminism, and science itself are satanic plots, and reveres Donald Trump as a godlike figure who was sent down from heaven to destroy the Communist Party of China. In a statement to the Gray Zone, Pang said, quote, the Epoch Times and the Falun Gong group do not represent my views in any way, unquote. However, a review of her 5 years of work at the Epoch Times shows Pang churned out hyperbolic anti-China reporting while publishing at least 17 articles promoting the Falun Gong cult or its cultural front group, Shen Yun. By the way, the Shen Yun dance troupe has had tremendous publicity here in the Bay Area and in California in general. One sees, or one saw before the pandemic, billboards and huge advertisements on the side of public buses and other mass media, public transportation. Shen Yun has a lot mummy behind it. Continuing, the New York Times' decision to run Pang's commentary was ironic in light of the lengthy feature it published on the Falun Gong propaganda arm in October of 2020, which branded the Epoch Times a, quote, leading purveyor of right-wing misinformation, unquote, that is, quote, pushing dangerous conspiracy theories, unquote, with a, quote, willingness to feed the online fever swamps of the far right, unquote, and a growing influence in Mr. Trump's inner circle, unquote. In her Times op-ed, Pang deployed her 1/8 Uyghur heritage to portray herself and her family as victims of a purported genocide, unquote, carried out by the Chinese government. At the same time, she acknowledged that she has lived her entire life in the United States and therefore has little familiarity with China and its society. Pang's op-ed ran just days before the Trump administration formally accused Beijing of genocide. U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, a far-right, rapture-ready evangelical, alleged that China has, quote, committed suicide on... Again, U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, a far-right, rapture-ready evangelical, alleged that China, quote, has committed genocide against the predominantly Muslim Uyghurs and other ethnic and religious minority groups in Xinjiang, unquote. The Pompeo State Department provided no evidence to bolster its extreme accusations, yet alleged that China's campaign of, quote, genocide, unquote, began in March of 2017. The Gray Zone had reported extensively on the Western disinformation campaign against China, chronicling how disinformation against the Uyghurs and other minorities had been spun into accusations of genocide, including claims of, quote, concentration camps, unquote, holding millions of detainees. In nearly every case, incendiary corporate media and State Department claims related to the issue rely on questionable research by a single far-right operative with extremist views and a network of anti-China NGOs financed by the U.S. government and the arms industry. That extremist, by the way, is the aforementioned Adrian Zenz. Continuing. The New York Times has been a central conveyor belt for the transmission of the U.S. information war against China, providing it with a critical patina of journalistic credibility and marketing it to the liberal intelligentsia that comprises the Times readership. Then the next section, former Epoch Times reporter relies on far-right operatives in New York Times. The New York Times printed Pang's op-ed, "It took a genocide for me to remember my Uyghur roots," unquote, on January 10th. The faulty article was a case study in how little evidence corporate media editors require to greenlight a piece as long as it accuses official U.S. enemies of the most titanic of war crimes. The Times translated the op-ed from English into both simplified and traditional Chinese, so it could be read around the world. In the article, Pang acknowledged, quote, "I have lived in the United States my entire life," unquote, and, quote, "no one in my family has ever visited Xinjiang apart from my mother and one aunt, and neither of them has stayed in touch with the relatives they met," unquote. But she wrote, "my maternal grandmother was half Uyghur," unquote, or her great-grandmother was Uyghur, which made her 1/8 Uyghur. And in the hyper-identitarian neoliberal culture that now dominates the New York Times newsroom, this was enough to confer unassailable authority upon the author. Despite her distant connection to China, Pang characterized herself and her family as victims of the Chinese Communist Party. Quote, "China's forced assimilation policies still reach me," she wrote, attributing her total lack of knowledge of Uyghur culture not to her family's fairly typical story of assimilation as American immigrants, but rather to Beijing's supposed cruelty. "I'm sorry it took a genocide for me to remember I am Uyghur," Pang tweeted. My essay in the New York Times Opinion, and then they tweet, my essay in the New York Times Opinion on my family's lost Uyghur roots. I'm sorry it took a genocide for me to remember I am Uyghur. Continuing. It is notable that the Times was so willing to entertain the accusatory angst of a U.S. pundit with 1/8 Uyghur heritage, while it actively ignores and silences the many Uyghurs born and raised in China's Xinjiang province who support the Communist Party of China and the government's developmental policies. The de facto policy is similar to its disproportionate reliance on quotes from liberal and Islamist exiles from Syria, while refusing to quote members of the country's loyalist majority living inside Syria. Meanwhile, social media platforms like Twitter and Facebook have suspended the accounts of prominent Uyghurs and other Chinese Muslims who provided an alternative perspective on the conflict. In Western media, only one viewpoint is allowed, that which served the interest of Washington and its new Cold War. Pang's Times article was also significant in the political marker it established. It allowed the newspaper of record to accuse Beijing of genocide, echoing the U.S. government, while maintaining a veneer of independence by doing so through an op-ed. In her article, Pang moved well beyond criticizing Chinese discrimination against the minority Uyghur community and the government's heavy-handed approach to combating Islamist, extremist, separatist groups in the region, who have carried out a wave of terrorist attacks targeting both government targets and civilians. One more time. In her article, Pang moved well beyond criticizing Chinese discrimination against the minority Uyghur community and the government's heavy-handed approach to combating Islamist, extremist, separatist groups in the region, who have carried out a wave of terrorist attacks targeting both government targets and civilians. To make her case that the Chinese government was guilty of, quote, genocide, unquote, Pang misleadingly implied that the United Nations has accused China of the crime, a disinformation tactic that has become common in anti-China reporting in the Western media. But the UN has not done so, as we saw in our last article. Continuing. In recent years, identifying as Uyghur has become a matter of life and death, Pang wrote. What started as a cultural genocide has progressed into a literal one as defined by the United Nations. In this deceptively worded line, Pang linked to an article by U.S. government-funded broadcaster NPR titled, China's Suppression of Uyghur Minorities Meets UN Definition of Genocide Report says, this article is also misleading. The report both Pang and National Public Radio were citing was not a United Nations document, but rather an investigation by a far-right German academic named Adrian Zenz, again, basically an operative of offshoots of the OUNB. Hence the title of this program, Fascism and the Uyghur Genocide Myth, and this is part one. Continuing. We have, by the way, spoken about Adrian Zenz at great length. The Gray Zone has previously revealed that Zenz is an extremist Christian who opposes homosexuality and gender equality and claims to be, quote, led by God, unquote, against China. Zenz even told the Wall Street Journal that his highly questionable work on Xinjiang is, quote, like a mission or a ministry, unquote, for him. That is to say, his research is explicitly motivated by his ideology, the precise opposite of social science. The far-right German academic is the source for practically every Western media report alleging, quote, genocide, unquote, at enormous concentration camps in Xinjiang. Zenz, who has not spent a significant period of time in China and has no evident scholarly expertise on Chinese politics, history, or society, is not so much an academic as he is a right-wing operative. Zenz has also found time to volunteer his belief that God's apocalyptic rapture will come soon, and Jews who refuse to convert to Christianity will, in his words, quote, be wiped out, unquote, and shoved in a fiery furnace, unquote, as journalist Dan Cohen reported. Adrian Zenz, the primary source for Western media reports on Uyghur concentration camps, unquote, is a German anti-Semite who believes Jews that refuse to convert to Christianity will be wiped out and put into a fiery furnace. That a tweet from the aforementioned Dan Cohen on August 10th of 2020. Continuing. Adrian Zenz works for the Victims of Communism Memorial Foundation, a right-wing lobby group that was founded by the U.S. government and is linked closely to the Republican Party. His research on Xinjiang is clearly politically motivated by his explicit desire to demonize the Chinese government and eventually overthrow the Communist Party. As Arjit Singh and Max Blumenthal reported for the Gray Zone, Zenz's estimate that, quote, over 1 million Muslim minorities are held in concentration camps, unquote, in Xinjiang, was based on a lone report by Istiqlal TV, Istiqlal, we've talked about this before, an Islamist media outlet run by Uyghur separatists based in Turkey. The outlet provides a friendly platform for extremist supporters of the East Turkestan Islamic Movement, or ETIM, a separatist group that seeks to build an Islamic state in Xinjiang, which it calls East Turkestan. ETIM, also known as the Turkestan Islamic Party, or TIP, is an al-Qaeda-linked extremist militia that has carried out numerous terrorist attacks in Xinjiang. It is recognized as a terrorist organization by the United Nations, the European Union, and many countries. Note the following. Mike Pompeo's State Department removed ETIM from the U.S. government's official terrorist list in October of 2020 as part of Washington's intensifying Cold War on China. One more time. Mike Pompeo's State Department removed ETIM, again, an al-Qaeda-linked extremist militia that has carried out numerous terrorist attacks in Xinjiang, recognized as a terrorist organization by the UN, the EU, and many countries. Pompeo's State Department removed ETIM from the U.S. government's official terrorist list in October of 2020 as part of Washington's intensifying Cold War on China. Despite the massive and well-documented flaws in Zenz's research, Amelia Pang cited him by name in her Times op-ed, echoing his work to accuse China of overseeing a massive increase in, quote, forced sterilizations, unquote, in Xinjiang. In her article, Pang referred to Zenz simply as, quote, an expert on China's ethnic policies, unquote, conveniently overlooking his extremist political views and his work for a U.S. government-linked right-wing lobby. Despite his widespread portrayal as a, quote, expert, unquote, it is not clear if Zenz even speaks Mandarin Chinese or Uyghur. The academic has not done any public events showing proficiency in either language. When journalists from the Gray Zone asked Zenz about his qualifications, he blocked them on social media. Next section, misleadingly distorting China's anti-extremism re-education centers. From the very first line, Amelia Pang's New York Times op-ed was based on distortions. She wrote, quote, the first time I truly realized I was Uyghur was just 3 years ago when I saw the now infamous viral photo of rows of Turkic men in dark blue uniforms sitting in a concentration camp in Hotan, Xinjiang, a so-called Uyghur autonomous region in China. The photo Pang reference has been heavily circulated by Western media outlets and NGOs, and is upheld as practically the only image proving the existence of, quote, concentration camps, unquote, run by Beijing. This characterization is, however, deeply misleading. This photo was not taken by some courageous prisoner or crusading investigative journalist. It was published by the Chinese government itself in a press release from 2014, 3 years before the State Department claimed the, quote, genocide, unquote, began in Xinjiang. One more time. This photo was not taken by some courageous prisoner or crusading investigative journalist. It was published by the Chinese government itself in a press release from 2014, 3 years before the State Department claimed the, quote, genocide, unquote, began in Xinjiang. In fact, the original image was published on the Xinjiang Bureau of Justice's own WeChat account, with a watermark identifying it as an official photo taken by Chinese authorities. Western anti-China propagandists have subsequently cropped off the watermark and presented the photo as proof of China caught in the act. In the next section, the photo shows a de-radicalization program at a Chinese detention center in Luopu County, Xinjiang, on April 7, 2014. The Chinese government press release said the event featured talks from local Muslim leaders and presentations focused on social stability, unquote, and long-term peace, unquote, which, quote, clearly clarified the traditional teachings and rules of Islam and righteousness, clarified the serious harm of religious extremism and violent terrorist activities, clarified the importance of the unity and struggle of all ethnic groups in Xinjiang for common prosperity and development, clarified the importance of Xinjiang's development, unquote. Other photos taken at the same 2014 anti-extremist event in Xinjiang have never been shared in Western media reports, and for obvious reasons. They depict innocuous scenes that stand at odds with the official U.S. government portrayal. While the Chinese government has challenged hyperbolic accusations of running, quote, concentration camps, unquote, it has openly admitted to operating de-radicalization centers for Islamist extremists, members of the same separatist organizations that have carried out scores of mass casualty attacks in the Xinjiang region, killing state officials and civilians alike. It is certainly fair to characterize the tactics used in the Chinese government's crackdown on extremism and separatism in Xinjiang as heavy-handed and even repressive, but the reality is a far cry from a campaign of genocide, unquote. The term concentration camps, unquote, in Western anti-China propaganda is clearly meant to invoke the mass extermination that took place in Nazi death camps. Washington's goal is to depict Beijing as a Nazi-like government in order to justify aggressive U.S. actions against the country and an eventual push for regime change. The highly suspect research from anti-China activists like Adrian Zenz have absurdly exaggerated the number of people who have passed through these re-education centers. The bottom-feeding pundits, desperate to validate Zenz's shabby research, have resorted to cartoonishly preposterous propaganda that portrays the situation as worse than the Nazi Holocaust. Before the U.S. initiated its new Cold War with China, Western corporate media outlets openly acknowledged that China faced a major national security threat in Xinjiang in the form of a Wahhabist separatist movement determined to destabilize the entire region and ultimately break away. In a 2017 report titled, "Uyghurs Fighting in Syria Pick Aim at China," unquote, the Associated Press reported, quote, "Since 2013, thousands of Uyghurs, a Turkic-speaking Muslim minority from western China, had traveled to Syria to train with the Uyghur militant group Turkestan Islamic Party and fight alongside Al-Qaeda, playing key roles in several battles," unquote. The AP continued, "Uyghur militants have killed hundreds if not thousands in attacks inside China in a decades-long insurgency that initially targeted police and other symbols of Chinese authority, but in recent years also included civilians." The outlet quoted a Uyghur militant who said his group traveled to Syria to, quote, "to learn how to use the weapons and then go back to China," unquote. Another extremist said they were basing their movement on Zionism and hoped to create an Islamist version of Israel in modern-day Xinjiang. The end of Syria's war may be the beginning of China's worst fears, unquote, the AP wrote. While Washington has preferred killing Islamic extremists like these with drones and military interventions, China has resorted to re-education centers. For Beijing, the Xinjiang region is extremely important. It is a key geostrategic location that lies at the heart of the New Silk Road that will provide an economic bridge between China and Central Asia. Washington has made it clear that it wants to sabotage Beijing's Belt and Road Initiative, an ambitious plan to link global South nations and recenter Asia in the global economy. And the United States knows it can throw a massive wrench in China's plans by encouraging separatist movements in Xinjiang. This is precisely why Washington's regime change arm, the National Endowment for Democracy, or NED, a CIA cutoff established by the Ronald Reagan administration at the end of the first Cold War, has poured millions of dollars into Uyghur separatist groups. The NED publicly boasted of its support for the Uyghur separatist movement on Twitter in December of 2020. The accusations of genocide and concentration camps in China also failed to take into account a global perspective. The U.S. has less than 5% of the planet's population, but nearly 25% of its prisoners. And the next section, we're almost out of time. I will continue with this article in our next program. Amelia Pang is the author of Made in China, A Prisoner, An SOS Letter, and The Hidden Cost of America's Cheap Goods, unquote, a book advancing the forced labor allegations made against China by the U.S. State Department. Though she presents herself as a liberal, Pang supported the Trump administration's economic attacks on the Chinese government, clamoring for the most aggressive measures available. In January, the Trump administration announced strict trade policies banning the import of cotton and tomatoes from China's Xinjiang province, the autonomous region where most Uyghurs live. The right-wing Victims of Communism Memorial Foundation, which employs Adrian Zins and has extensive links to the U.S. government, claimed credit for helping to advance the new policy. We will continue with this program, with this article, in our next program. However, this concludes For the Record program number 1178, Fascism and the Uyghur Genocide Myth, Part 1. This is being recorded on March 31st of the year 2021. I'm Dave Emery. Have fun.